Hello and welcome to episode 52 of Spooky Girls, the podcast where we explore all sorts of real-life paranormal and creepy occurrences, from ghost sightings and hauntings to reported alien and cryptid encounters, myths, folklore, legends and more. Every episode we cover a different true spooky story. We're your hosts. I'm Katrina.
And I'm Jasmine. It is good to be back.
Hello. Yes.
After a very long break.
We have been gone for a while. It was not a planned break, but we had a lot of stuff going on in our lives.
Yep, shit happens, I guess, you know.
But we have returned from the dead, much like the monster that we will be discussing today.
Ooh, are we talking about zombies?
Well, we're actually talking about revenants.
Ooh, I know revenants.
Yeah, so they're actually like pretty cool medieval zombies.
Okay. I mean, for me, I only know revenants from Phasmophobia, the ghost hunting game.
Oh, are you not?
Yeah.
I knew they were in like some games, but I'm not sure that those games depicted them correctly. Yeah.
They're probably not like ghosts that go faster when they see you, which is the mechanic that they have in Phasmo. So I'm excited to see what they're really like.
Not quite. I can't wait to tell you all about it. I really like this this episode because, as anyone who has been here for a while knows, I have just completed a medieval and Renaissance studies master's.
Woo-hoo.
So while I was writing this, it all came flooding back.
Well, I'm very excited to see the culmination of your hard studies. Let's get right in. I'm excited about this. It's good to be back. Let's do this.
Okay, so my sources for this were Wikipedia, zombie.fandom.com, aplacebetweenthetrees.com, britishparanormal.co.uk, and an article by Michael East at medium.com. And also, I'd like to apologise for any of my pronunciation throughout this episode, because there's a lot of words in a lot of different languages, so. Named after the Old French for the returning, a revenant is a medieval animated corpse that has returned from the dead in order to haunt and torment the living. Revenants and their close equivalents have been documented within the ancient folklore and mythology of various cultures around the world, including the Norse Drauga, or Aptiganga, literally meaning again walker, the Finnish dead child beings, and the Caribbean Sukian, also known as Olhig. While some folklorists may assert that the word revenant can be used as a generic term when referring to any member of the undead, such as vampires, zombies, or ghosts, the revenants of medieval legend possess certain characteristics which make them quite distinct from any of their other undead counterparts. For example, while they are said to be reanimated corpses who have physically left their graves, much like vampires, they are also described as not always being visible to everyone at all times, as though they are some sort of spectre rather than a physical being. These revenants also seem to have a number of features in common, as in most cases, they are considered to have been sinners and wrongdoers in their lifetime. This apparent wickedness perhaps left their bodies and souls open to demonic corruption, or earned them the anger of a wrathful god or saint who decided to punish them by bringing them back from the dead as a monstrous being. Not all revenants were evildoers in life, though, as others were said to have died under tragic circumstances, including being murdered, and were thus unable to rest. No matter how they died, however, once risen from the grave, they began terrifying and tormenting the living. This ranged from the revenant carrying out acts of seemingly benign general mischief, such as knocking on neighbors' doors in the dead of night and calling them to come outside, to more threatening targeted attacks, including attempting to crush or suffocate former loved ones, usually a spouse, while they slept.
How terrifying would that be? Like, not only do you have like a dead loved one, but when they come back, they don't want to give you joy, they want to crush you. I'd be fucking mortified.
Although some of these antics might seem more humorous than sinister, they would have been absolutely petrifying for the Revenant's victims, particularly due to the fact that anyone targeted by a Revenant was under threat of becoming seriously ill or dying. You see, Revenants were said to spread disease among the living, with some tales even claiming that they were responsible for wiping out entire villages. In at least one instance, it is also implied that the Revenant sucked the blood of their victim, perhaps accounting for their sudden illness and death. Revenants are most notably associated with medieval England, where belief in the creatures was so well established that even distinguished historians included detailed accounts of their alleged activity within their chronicles. One such historian is 12th century scholar and theologian William of Newburgh, who wrote in his History of English Affairs that one would not easily believe that corpses came out of their graves and wander around, animated by I don't know what spirit, to terrorise or harm the living, unless here were many cases in our time supported by ample testimony. He goes on to state that reports of revenants were so common that, were I to write down all the instances of this kind which I have ascertained to have befallen in our time, the undertaking would be beyond measure laborious and troublesome.
So, okay, to me, these things, I've got a few questions already. They sound like a mix of basically every kind of like supernatural creature, like vampires, ghosts, yeah, zombies. But at the same time, you know, being the medieval times and this idea of like spreading a contagion, could it just be that like everyone was so sick with the plague that they're like, ah, oh, my loved one came back to crush me? Like, no, honey, that's just your lungs breaking.
Yeah, I assume that there are a lot of people walking around who looked very dead.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. And then, so like this idea of like they become possessed by something evil, so that means that they themselves maybe weren't evil, it's just after they die they become
yeah well
evil?
I don't know, there's very few things that actually say like why these people specifically became revenants, other than maybe like they were killed and wanted to come back to get revenge, or like the person was already a really bad person. But we'll see a bit later on.
Okay.
What can stop them or not stop them in some cases.
Rock salt. Always rock salt.
Newburgh tells the story of an unnamed man who became a revenant. This man, who was of evil conduct, fled from his hometown to York in order to escape justice for his nefarious deeds. There he married a woman, but quickly became jealous and suspicious that she was cheating on him. So naturally, he hid in the rafters of their bedroom, where he caught her in an act of infidelity with a local young man.
Naturally.
To make his day even worse, the man then accidentally fell to the floor, mortally wounding himself and causing him to die a few days later. What an awful day.
Damn, not only is your wife skipping out, but you're just fucking falling from the rafters. What a klutz.
The man received a Christian burial, though he was unworthy of it, according to William. But even so, by the handiwork of Satan, the man rose from his grave during the night as a revenant and wandered through the courts and around the houses. The locals were so afraid that, quote, all men made fast their doors and did not dare to go abroad or any errand whatever from the beginning of the night until sunrise, for fear of meeting and being beaten black and blue by this vagrant monster. Apparently the zombies were also a bit violent.
Apparently. I think they were just like scallies who were just looking a bit worse for wear. Like, honestly, that's just...
Maybe.
Oh, carry on.
Even so, a number of residents were killed by the revenant, prompting the surviving townspeople to get together and go to the cemetery to dig up the man's grave. They didn't have to dig for long until they came upon the revenant's bloated corpse, quote, swollen to an enormous corpulence, turgid and suffused with blood. The young men of the group, spurred on by wrath, stabbed the corpse repeatedly with their shovels, then dragged it beyond the village and attempted to burn it on a makeshift funeral pyre. When the body wouldn't burn, however, they were forced to tear out its heart, and it was only then that it was consigned to the flames and incinerated, finally putting an end to its reign of terror. Can you imagine how gross that smelled?
Just rotting guts.
Yeah.
Oh, but also, like, didn't we talk about something to do with bodies that wouldn't burn for in like a different monster? And there was some scientific thing to do with that happening.
Ooh, I'm not sure, you know. I think it's actually probably difficult to burn a body because they don't,
they don't just catch fire like tinder. It takes quite a while to melt all that stuff away.
Yeah, and I assume that bodies are very, moist. So it would be difficult to set it on fire. Yeah.
Also, maybe they just didn't know how to fucking light a flame. You know, he didn't know how decomposition works. I wouldn't be surprised.
In another story, Newberg tells the tale of a woman from Buckingham who had been recently widowed, but her husband came back from the dead as a revenant and began tormenting her at night by appearing in her bedchamber, where he, quote, not only terrified her on awakening, but nearly crushed her by the insupportable weight of his body. This occurred for 3 nights. Then the revenant also began visiting nearby friends and neighbours in the same way, making him, quote, like a serious nuisance to the village.
I'll say that's a pretty fucking big nuisance. I saw your husband in my room and he tried to crush me. Oh, what a nuisance.
Eventually, he could even be seen walking around the village in broad daylight, though apparently only visible to a few, but still terrifying the fearful locals, who set up vigilante groups to keep watch at all hours to protect their family and friends. Scared beyond measure, the inhabitants decided to seek the counsel of the church and lamented the whole affair to the Bishop of Lincoln. The bishop wrote a letter of absolution for the man, which, after his tomb was opened, was placed on his chest. Once the tomb was resealed, the revenant activity thankfully came to an end. So, in that case, because the man's sins were absolved, he was no longer a revenant.
Yeah, it all leads back to God, doesn't it? All leads back to desecrating of corpse in the unholy realm of these evil, evil people trying to crush their neighbour.
Yeah, we will see if the power of the Christian church can truly stop the revenants. At the same time as William of Newburgh was chronicling tales of revenant encounters in the north of England, another medieval writer by the name of Walter Mapp was collating similar stories from the south of the country, particularly around his native Herefordshire. Mapp tells of a, quote, wicked man from Hereford who became a revenant and rose from the dead to terrify his former family, friends, and neighbours. This went on for weeks, with the dead man wandering the streets at night, calling out the names of those who would become sick and die within 3 days. Eventually, in order to put a stop to this, the Bishop of Hereford, Gilbert Folio, ordered the body to be dug up, decapitated with a spade, sprinkled with holy water, and then reinterred.
Well, that's nice and normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's very normal. I do love how they decapitate with spades. I like that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why it's spades in these cases.
It's their weapon of choice.
Well,
I think that's pretty cool.
I mean, it's already in your hand for digging bodies up, so you may as well use it.
Yeah, and I reckon and I, again,
I imagine
like once,
that head's not quite. That's not too difficult to get up a body. It could just be like.
Yeah. I mean, it'll probably just pop right off.
Yeah. Squidge pop. Ew. While many of these stories serve as a sort of fable that warns of the dangers of sin and not following the ways of the Lord, with the solution to the problem usually showcasing the amazing power of the Christian church, the efforts of both man and God didn't always manage to stop revenants. Writing during the 11th century, Thietmar, Bishop of Merseburg, located in modern-day Germany, related the story of a priest from Deventer in the Netherlands, who was horrified to discover that a number of revenants had begun hosting some sort of demonic mass in an abandoned local church during the night. The panic-stricken priest rushed to the bishop to seek his advice, but supposedly the unhelpful bishop merely instructed him to prevent the dead from entering the church the next night. When the priest attempted to follow the bishop's orders, however, he not only failed to stop the revenants from getting inside the church, but he was violently thrown out of the building by the dead. The priest was forced to return to the bishop the next day and tell him all about what had occurred. But once again, the ineffectual bishop simply repeated his orders. The hapless priest did as he was told, but this time the dead weren't so tolerant, as they threw him on the church's altar and burned him alive.
Yes. Now that's how you light a fucking fire. Okay? Again, to me, this sounds like a bunch of like satanic panicky stuff. These are just people that looked half dead and were just bad, scrappy motherfuckers who wanted to cause some ruckus in town. And they were like, oh my God, they think we're zombies. Quickly, let's go into their houses and lie on top of them and scare them to death. They'll think it's their dead wives and husbands. It'll be hilarious. And then they did that. And they would hang out at the church. And then, you know what, if they have to burn a bitch, so be it. I support it.
As we have seen, some methods of getting rid of revenants are not too dissimilar to how one would eliminate a suspected vampire, with a combination of cutting off the head, removing the heart, and / or burning the corpse being the most common approach. Burials in which the deceased has been dismembered have been found in England dating back to before the Norman Conquest. In fact, in 2017, researchers from Historic England and the University of Southampton began excavating burial sites in the long-deserted Yorkshire village of Warham Percy, where analysis of bones found at the site showed clear evidence of decapitation, dismemberment, and burning not long after death. They also found that hammers and stones had been used to crush the limbs of the dead, and knives used for decapitation. In total, 137 disarticulated bones from over 10 different individuals were studied, allowing researchers to establish that the mutilated remains belonged to both male and female victims of various ages, with the youngest belonging to a 2-year-old child. As such, it is clear to see that, during a certain period, something must have happened to spark profound panic among the villagers, causing them to go to pretty extreme lengths to stop the monstrous dead from rising from their graves and walking amongst them. Perhaps one of the most terrifying explanations for the dead returning to life, whether they be revenant, vampire, or any other creature, is that they were not actually dead to begin with. Medical conditions such as cataplexy may help account for the prevalence of myths about the undead, as the disease causes the loosening of facial muscles and, in extreme cases, complete muscular paralysis of the body. The sufferer loses full control of their body, unable to move or communicate in any way, yet remaining completely conscious. Mistaken for dead by their loved ones, these individuals face the possibility of being buried alive. When finally able to gain control of their limbs, their only hope was to bang on or claw at the coffin lid, but this was often to little avail. Soon they would exhaust themselves, their oxygen would run out, and they would die for real. If a passerby were to hear this commotion, or see that the shallow grave seemed to have been disturbed, it is possible that they would think that the person had become some sort of monstrous creature that was attempting to rise from the dead. Something which would have only been confirmed when the grave was later exhumed and claw marks or a smashed coffin lid were found, with the corpse looking a little fresher than it should be.
Yum yum.
So there we have it, Revenants. Ooh. How did you enjoy it, Jasmine? I love these creatures. I think they're really, really spooky.
I loved
and cool.
That.
Yeah, so basically just as what we'd already said is that like maybe someone was like really ill and like didn't have much of a pulse, but then they sort of rallied once they'd been buried. And then,
I mean, I'd be pretty pissed off. I would come back and try to crush my loved ones.
Yeah, but then it's also like that explains why they were in such like shallow graves and it looked like they'd basically been digging themselves out. It's because someone could have actually tried to dig themselves out but then died. And that would explain why they were like right at the surface and quite fresh.
This is a long time before they began installing those little bells on graves,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Because that was Victorian, wasn't it?
Yeah. Those bells were a lot later. So this was just, oh my God, it's a monster.
Get away. Yeah. Fair enough.
Let's decapitate them.
No, yeah. I really like how it is kind of this amalgamation of all these different types of like supernatural entities and things that people fear.
Mm.
I do love always seeing like how these things sort of came around, like how all of these concerns arose. And I do know that for things like vampires, I remember when we covered them or something similar-ish.
We did the estuary.
But there was one thing that we covered where like they found a body and the heart was still like engorged with blood. And they were like, oh, that's proof that this is like the living, they're alive or like they're undead. And again, like things that I find most interesting about these kinds of stories, again, is just how much time has, what am I trying to say? Our understanding of these things now is only informed. How do I?
I understand what you mean, like how far we've come.
Yes, yes. And it's as simple as understanding like some simple scientific facts that would make these people have gone, actually, maybe it's not that, you know. And again, the whole thing about like illnesses, people looking like literally like the Walking Dead, you know, especially in medieval times, there was some foul shit going around there. But yeah, that was brilliant, Catty. That was nice.
Thank you so much. I loved it for its historicalness and like chroniclers wrote about it and stuff. I find that really funny.
I do love how they phrase things. Terrible nuisance to the villager.
Well, it was like, I remember one of my favourite things in university was I wrote a paper that was about, I can't remember what the historian was called, but he basically wrote an article that was about the phenomenon of like flying priests, like flying holy people. And like you read the historical records that this is real to them. This is... there was one specific nun, and it was like, she flew all above the trees and she saved a little boy on a roof. And it was all this stuff. And it was like, there were absolutely no wires. Like, this was legit. And it's like, how do you treat that as a historian? And this historian proposed you have to take it as their fact. You have to treat it as fact. You don't just poo-poo it. So I want to know, like, were there medieval zombies that have now just disappeared? Is it a fact?
I mean, again, I think it all comes down to this idea of religion being a law in itself, much like sciences. I think that's why even nowadays we have people arguing about, you know, the making of the earth, right? Like the Big Bang versus creation. Like, people that are religious, they don't need a reason. They just believe it blindly, because otherwise they wouldn't need faith, right? Like, if the whole point of faith is that you don't need evidence, then asking for, like, and this is kind of the crux that I think a lot of religious, you know, records and doctrine is based on, this idea of like, well, they wrote it down and you have to trust that it's true even if there's no evidence, because that's what faith is. And that's why I think there was always like a jarring between science and theology, because they are two completely counterintuitive schools of thought, especially in a time where people thought that nuns could fly. It's absolutely no surprise that they thought
but
a few
maybe
like
they did.
Maybe they did. I don't think they did. Maybe that's why they have their big long capes.
Yeah, maybe that's where the whole like nuns can fly thing came from.
I didn't think there was a thing that nuns could fly. I've never heard of this ever. The only nun I know that can fly is the one from The Nun, from the movie The Nun.
No, I remember there being name? Like a Simpsons episode.
Beth Shever.
That involved like a flying
nun. I don't remember any of that. But yeah, like, it is just this idea that like holy people are imbued with these like supernatural qualities. And again, the idea of like a superhero, like a super nun, I don't know. I think that, again, humanity, they want so badly to believe in something to like take care of them, and it's easy, you know, to have evil if there's good to fight the evil. So like, I don't know if the flying nuns could have gone there and punched a few revenants.
Apparently there's a TV show called The Flying Nun, which is about a community of nuns.
Is it like Sister Act, but they
can
fly
when the wind like picks up?
Because it picks them up.
Yeah.
They're in a typhoon. Get out the way, bitch. Oh, goodness. Yeah, no. I like revenants. I like the idea of them. But what I like the most about that story is how it has nothing at all to do with the representation in Phasmophobia. Absolutely nothing. So I have a lot of questions for the devs of that game.
Do they not try and crush you and knock on your door?
No, I mean, in Phasma, you just hunt ghosts, but each ghost has like a specific set of quirks to help you identify it. And the Revenant, basically, it moves really slowly, but when it sees you, it runs after you really fast. And you basically, like, you can't outrun it. When it sees you, like, you're pretty much going to die. So, like, that's how you track them in the game. But there's no crushing of any kind, unfortunately.
Not very accurate. I love Revenants. I love the medieval-iness of them.
Medieval stuff is fun. So spoopy. Even if, again, they probably were just very mean to their sick people and buried them alive. Like, well, that one's gone. Chuck him in the ditch. And then he's like, I'm having a nap.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
But anyway.
Yes.
Yay.
Ta-da!
We finally recorded another episode.
We did, Catty. Good for... Let's give ourselves a pat on the back. Pat on the back. Hopefully it won't take 4 more months before the next one.
No. It's so awful.
I've got something almost ready-ish.
Jasmine's very, very busy. I had a bereavement with little Billy, my dog, who was the one who frequently barked in the background and I had to call and I also have a slipped disc or a squished disc or something, which makes it very difficult to sit.
Did a Revenant like, jump on it.
At a computer and write. And no, seriously, when I lie flat, like at the end of the day, I can literally like feel a squish when whatever it is goes back into position. Yes, so it's quite difficult for me to like sit and write, and I think it's caused by university, like being hunched over all the time.
I still think it's a revenant.
I have my physiotherapy appointment in 2 weeks, and hopefully they will send me for a scan.
Let us pray. I will go there and I will punch them, or I will terrify their neighbours and family friends by squishing them in their sleep. Good. See how they like it?
Yes.
It's a good idea. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Katty, for the beautiful story, as always. It's good to be back. We've missed you.
We've missed you very much.
So spread the word. We're back, hopefully, for a good time and a long time. Let's pray.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening, and we hope to have you back for the next episode. If you want to get in touch for any reason, just to say hello or to send us a story of your own true paranormal or spooky experience, please email us at spookygalspodcast@gmail.com. You can also check us out on Twitter at spookygalspod and on Instagram at spookygalspodcast. If you want to support us further, then you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/spookygals, and from as little as $2 a month, you gain access to bonus episodes and other awesome content that we have planned for the future, and we promise that we will actually update it soon. Thank you all so much, and we'll see you all next time. Stay spooky. Goodbye.
Mwah. La 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 la